everyone, and welcome back to the world-famous Goal Achievers radio program, where we interview, learn, become inspired, and entertained by some of the most notable thought leaders and experts and goal achievers in the world. As you know, my name is Phil Taylor, author of Set Yourself on Fire, How to Ignite Your Passions and Live the Life You Love, and your grateful host for this next hour. Well, at Goal Achievers International, we have a seven-step process that we utilize in order to set and achieve our goals. And step number four has to do with identifying the specialized knowledge that one needs in order to reach your goal. And in essence, that's exactly what we aim to do here on our program as we interview, learn, and tap into the minds and extensive experience of some of the most inspiring and accomplished goal achievers in their area of expertise. Well, today we are absolutely thrilled and honored to welcome a very outstanding guest, to say the least. Jeffrey Gittimore is among the most sought-after speakers. He presents more than 100 times a year all over the world. He is the author of the New York Times bestseller, The Little Red Book of Selling, as well as Social Boom, and then 10 other titles that relate to sales, customer loyalty, and attitude. His website will lead you to more information about his books, webinars, training, and seminars. You can also sign up for his free weekly email magazine, Sales Caffeine, that comes out every Tuesday. So we have so much to talk about. We'll get right into it. Jeffrey, welcome to the Goal Achievers radio program.
Thank you. Thank you. Nice to be here.
Oh, well, listen, it's a thrill to have you on our program, and we have so much to talk about. And I tell you, the first time I ever encountered you was on the internet, and I saw your site, and it blew me away. It was so entertaining, so distinctive, and fun to watch, and I just kept browsing all over your site because it was it just drew me in like a moth to a flame, so to speak. And that's what you do. And then heard you live. Yeah, go ahead.
Let me interrupt you for just 1 second. I tweeted last week, the world is a shiny light bulb and all salespeople are moths.
Well, you know, that says it all right there. Because that's exactly how I felt. And then I heard you live, and boy, you didn't disappoint. You are so incredibly dynamic. So it's a real, real joy to have you on this program. And you have built a reputation, too, unintentionally, but just because of who you are, as one of the most generous people out in the industry. So thank you for being on our program.
Oh, my pleasure. Yeah, my pleasure.
That's great.
I assume that comment means this is without compensation, correct?
Hey, it's called the language of the heart. You just call it the way it is. Yeah,
I actually have been blessed. I've done a lot of radio interviews, internet interviews, and it always ends up in business. So the challenge has to be, if you're not willing to give the value, then you're not willing to get the benefit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
Too many people try to sell it before they have earned it.
Mm-hmm. Well said. Well said, and you do that. You certainly deliver value time and time again, and this is why we're so excited about having you. And boy, do we have questions for you, just to be able to tap into your mind. Well, listen, you wrote this fabulous book, Social Business Media Boom. What prompted you to write this book?
Well, what I found is that there were a ton of people on the internet who were claiming to be social media experts, and then when you look at their Twitter followers, they have 385.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that, you know, I only have 53 or 54,000 Twitter followers, which I consider to be legitimate. It's baseline legitimate.
Right.
You can't tell, you know, LinkedIn is they try to make it very egalitarian that where if you have 500 people or more, it says 500 plus on your contact sheet.
Mm-hmm.
I have 13,300 followers or connections on LinkedIn because people want to connect with me because they want to hear what I have to say or read what I have to say next.
Mm-hmm.
And to me, that's the real measure. There's things about social media that I perceive by the mail that I get and the offers that I get that were not authentic. And so I put the book out there written by other people that were involved in social media as well that I think authenticates the process. I wanted to have young people that were brains. I wanted to have people that were involved in putting the whole program together, whether you were doing LinkedIn or you were doing YouTube, or you were doing a combination of things, or you were trying to aggregate things into one piece of software. I wanted everyone's input.
Mm-hmm.
So I took seven other people, and I put their stuff in the book as well, so that it's not just an aggregate of what I think. Rather, it's an aggregate of what other people are thinking and doing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it's a, to me, it's a very strong piece in that it talks about what is happening now and what will be happening. Because you can't predict social media more than a year in advance.
Mm-hmm.
It's not happening.
Yeah.
You know, no one would have predicted that Facebook stock would have been worth 50% of what it is.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody could have predicted that. They would have put it with Apple that, you know, it's going to come out at 30 and it'll be at 80.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Now it's not even at 20.
Yeah, true.
So I feel as though there's a, you know, obviously there's going to be a kind of a washing out of who's making it and who's not making it over the course of the next 5 years. But when someone looks at business social media or social media in either form, whether it's person-to-person or business-to-person or business-to-business, it's only a five-year-old piece.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, LinkedIn's 10 years old, Facebook's 10 years old, but really, in the mind of the consumer or the mind of the business person, it's only 5 years old.
Sure.
Look at the automobile when it was 5 years old. Look at the radio when it was 5 years old. Look at the telephone when it was 5 years old. And that's where the internet is. That's where social media is.
Mm-hmm.
It's a five-year-old child, barely housebroken. You know, it's up to the individual. Don't be angry at what it does or doesn't do. Like, Twitter's always over capacity.
Mm-hmm.
Always over capacity. Well, you know what that shows? People are using the hell out of it.
Yeah, true.
And I want to make sure that my audience understands that, number one, it's new.
Mm-hmm.
But number two, it's now and next.
Yes, yeah. It's fast-changing times. And, you know, how does one stay on the cutting edge?
There's only one way, and that is to get involved and stay involved consistently. You can't do it from the sidelines.
Mm-hmm.
You can only participate. You know, I have thousands of followers on Twitter because I tweet.
Yeah.
I have thousands of retweets on Twitter because I tweet things that other people think are valuable enough to send to somebody else. I don't think Twitter... It's a matter of tweeting. I think it's a matter of being retweeted.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because that proves that you're valid and valuable.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so what? And boy, this is like trying to eat an elephant. There's so much angles we can approach with talking about social business media. And what we'll do is perhaps break down the big four, as you put them, but. Aside from the big four, maybe you can mention them, are there any other social media venues to look out for that are worth investing in?
Well, I participate in those four, but I also have a blog.
Uh-huh.
And I think that the blog will lead you to more followers and more followings if you're interesting and you put stuff out there that's good.
True.
I subscribe to a few blogs, and one of them is Seth Godin. And I recommend that everyone subscribes to his blog and my blog. And the reason is that he's got a following, and you want to see what is he saying to keep his following. Not that I'm so interested in what Seth Godin says, and not that it always is something that I got to, you know, print out and hang up on my wall, but I want to see what he is talking about and why are people so interested in that. Why does he have tens of thousands of followers on an everyday basis on his RSS feed? That's what I want to know.
Yeah.
And so I read it and pay attention to it.
Yeah. And one doesn't have to reinvent the wheel. Just examine what successful people are doing and emulate it. And I think that you speak a lot about that. You know, look at. But you have a lot of followers all over social media, not only because you're using the tool well, but because you're Jeffrey Gittimer.
That's
true. You put out value, right?
Yeah.
And that's
I agree with that. And obviously, I have a tactical advantage before I start. But the bottom line is, I participate.
Yes. Yeah.
And when you participate, you get more people involved in the process.
Yes, exactly. And those that don't eventually fade out, don't they? I mean, it's so important to stay on the cutting edge. Now, you know, you've committed your whole life to the profession of selling. You've been in the trenches, you've lived it through and through, and now you impart your knowledge to others in this arena. How has social media changed the face of how we engage customers or approach the selling process?
I want to be known before I walk in the door. I don't want to have to introduce myself. I don't want to have to explain myself. I don't want to have to give a dossier on my accomplishments or why my company is great or why my product is great. I said way before social media, in sales it's not who you know. In sales it's who knows you. Social media gives you a free opportunity to have people find you and know you way before you get there. Now, just think about this for just a second. If I was going to call you and come to you and make a $100,000 sales proposal to you, that I was going to revamp your show and put you in front of millions more people, I'm going to Google you, and I'm going to Google your company, correct?
Absolutely, yeah.
Aren't you going to Google me?
Oh, 100%. Oh, Google
you. You're going to Facebook me, you're going to LinkedIn me, you're going to Twitter me. You're going to look me up on YouTube. You're going to find my blog. Okay.
Sure.
I'm going to do the same thing to any salesperson that I interact with.
Yeah.
Any salesperson who goes on a sales call is completely transparent and exposed for who they are or who they are not.
Yeah.
And the sales guy who goes home and says, Twitter, it's, you know, for little girls, he's an idiot. He is an absolute ostrich head in the sand. And maybe he says that or she says that because they don't know any better. They don't know, quote, how to.
Right.
There's schools now. You know, this is, I know this is a surprise, but you can take lessons on how to tweet. You can take lessons on how to use LinkedIn, and people should invest in those.
Yeah.
Because it's so the company that helps me with my stuff is called One Social Media. They have a product called Business Social Media University. It's onesocialmedia.com. Just
Beautiful.
Go and check it out. It's inexpensive.
Wow.
It's a few hundred
yeah.
bucks. But it's lessons on exactly what and how to do each thing. And people should follow it and find out about it because it's valuable. It's
no
totally
kidding.
Valuable.
Yeah. Yeah.
And if you're not doing it, it's predominantly because you don't know how. Everyone
True.
Wants to. Everyone wants to. There's a classic statement by Jim Rohn. All the information you need to succeed already exists. The problem is you're not exposing yourself to it.
Yeah, yeah. And then there's just action, right? The great aim of education is not knowledge, but action, as Herbert Spencer puts it.
Exactly. It's I just said it to an audience 2 days ago in Brazil. It's not knowing, it's doing.
Yes, yeah.
Exactly. There's a big difference between I know that and I'm doing that.
Yeah.
Salespeople already know everything. The problem is they don't do it.
True. That is exciting. You mentioned that, if I'm not mistaken, that cold call, the term cold call, or even the exercise of the term cold call, is out. What do you mean by that?
It is more and more difficult to make a cold call as each day passes. For example, in the 70s, I cold called in New York City for almost 3 years. I could walk in any building, knock on any door. Today, you cannot walk into any building without having a hall pass. You have to go to the guard. They have to know who you are. You have to have someone called up and say, are you scheduled to a meeting with Jeffrey Gittimer? And then they let you in, and oftentimes they pre-program the elevator so you can't even get from floor to floor.
Yeah.
So if you're trying to go out and make a cold call face-to-face, those days are pretty much over. If you're trying to make a cold call on the phone, it's an interruption. And you interrupt people. I'll give you a line if you want to use the line. You get a hold of a decision maker and you say, hey, I know you're busy. Are you between 100 things or 1,000 things? And that way I at least catch the guy's intellectual appeal. However, you're still interrupting.
Yeah.
Wouldn't it be better if they call you?
Yeah.
And so in Social Boom, which is the definition of business social media, I give you the opportunity to learn how to use social media so that you become known, so that people follow you, like you, and eventually call you. Mm-hmm. Keep this one thing in mind. I've been doing this for 20 years, and I've given over 2,000 speeches, about 100 speeches a year.
Mm-hmm.
Never made a sales call.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The people who book me call me mm-hmm. because of all the other stuff that I had. They read my books, they read my column, they read my blog, they follow me on Twitter. Whatever it is that they do, they're doing it, and it's with an understanding of what my philosophy is, what my strategy is, and how they might be able to follow the same philosophy and strategy, implement the same strategies that I'm giving to them. I don't want to call them tactics or techniques because I'm not a manipulative salesperson. I use mm-hmm. positive persuasion. But mm-hmm. but the challenge is universally there. Every salesperson wants to make more sales, period.
Mm-hmm.
And they're not going to do it the way it used to be done.
You've obviously built such a reputation that you don't have to call for business. They come to you. You probably have to turn away as much as you receive, in fact. You know, that's my guess. But what about someone starting off in sales that hasn't had that track record?
If you're starting off in sales, the first thing you have to do is establish accounts on Twitter, LinkedIn, Facebook, and YouTube. You have to do that. Have the account there. So that, you know, it will be overwhelming that you haven't done anything with it. You have to think about mm-hmm. that, number one. Number two, go out and visit 20 of your existing customers. Not company's customers, not you, because you don't have any
right.
if you're new.
Right.
Go out
right.
and visit 20 customers and find out why they bought and find out what they're hoping for and find out what their objectives are for the next, you know, 12 months or 6 months or six or 3 months. And use that as your storehouse of knowledge to be able to go to the first customer.
Mm-hmm.
And then post a picture of that customer up on your Facebook page with you.
Mm-hmm.
And tag them.
That's great. Yeah, that's using innovation, creativity, and absolutely.
There's no reason not to. There's no reason not to.
Uh-huh. All right. Well, I think when someone really thinks through the whole process, you're right. When it comes down to it, the breakout of social media has changed the landscape and makes us do things differently and more efficiently than traditional means. That's the bottom line from what I hear you saying. And
if you do things traditionally, you'll get untraditional results. I think I feel like there's a definitely a line that has to be drawn
uh-huh.
on what you're supposed to do versus what you really do.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And if your sales manager says go make cold calls, you say, listen, I really would love to. Can you come with me and show me how to do the first 100? And that manager won't be able to get any person on the phone because the odds are he's horrible at it.
What about in-person cold call? I'm thinking of the Marino, for instance, residential sales, for instance, where maybe there's a government subsidy and you're introducing a new conversion to a new use of energy.
Do you really want somebody banging on your door?
It does work,
but this doesn't work well. It worked in the 20s when Fuller Brush was rolling. But you know what? The best thing to do is ask to go to a meeting of the Homeowners Association.
Right.
That's a smarter move.
More efficient move.
You're going to speak to the head of the Homeowners Association. There may be 20 people in a neighborhood of 500,
mm-hmm.
but they have a mailing list.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, true. It's about working smarter, right, than harder in many cases. But
It's both.
Exactly.
You have to work hard to get the meeting with that HOA association.
Yeah,
you have to work
yeah.
hard on your speech for that night to be able to make sure that it's poignant and attractive. So I'm not an advocate of not working harder. I'm an advocate of doubling your workload. But the smart part is, you know, you get rejected 99 out of 100 times on a cold call. Why on earth would you make the next one?
Right. Well, that is fantastic. Talking about your industry, and we'll go back to the meat and potatoes of social business media, how have you seen it change your industry, if anything? Do you feel like people are staying away from live events as a whole? I'm not talking specifically to you, but as a whole in the industry versus going to webinars and online options?
Yeah, I feel as though the webinar is the new seminar.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I feel as though that anyone who's in my business needs to be charging for that webinar, not trying to convince me that it's free by using three E's in the word free or putting a dot in there somewhere so that it doesn't get spammed out. I mean, who
right.
are you kidding? There's nothing free. And,
yeah.
and so that would be number one. But the real challenge for what's happening in my business is that corporate America during this recessionary time is not spending the money that they have in reserve. They have plenty of money.
Hmm, true.
So this November, people can actually make a choice. I don't
yeah.
want to be political, but I my political philosophy is not Democratic or Republican. It's simply don't reelect anybody.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So
just get rid of everybody who's been there for 10 years or 5 years. Get new guys in there. At least
yeah.
they'll do the best for the country.
Yeah. So you feel that it's not attributed to social media as much as the state of the economy?
That's correct.
That's it. Okay. Very interesting.
I mean, I can tell you
yeah.
this personally.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
My public seminars audiences over the last 4 years have been cut in half because people's real estate values are down, because gasoline is $4 a gallon, because
mm-hmm.
the economy isn't affording them the sales that they possibly could get.
Mm-hmm.
And so they don't want to pay $150 to come see me, but they'll pay $30 to come hear me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely.
And so we get tons of people who pay me money for my webinars. Tons. Thank goodness.
Mm-hmm.
But the bottom line is that for someone to travel within their own hometown,
yeah.
it's just not there anymore.
There is so much noise out there on the internet via social media. How do you, for instance, there's a lot of free webinars.
Yeah, I wouldn't take one.
I wouldn't take one.
Yeah. Yeah. There's no reason to take a free webinar unless you want to just watch how the person does their sales pitch.
Right, right. So go where the value is and invest that in that
yeah.
versus wasting your resource of time and energy.
I don't want to say it's a waste because I don't want to knock the
True.
People that
mm-hmm.
are doing, because some are pretty good.
Like Goal Achievers
the
Radio,
problem,
right?
Yeah, exactly. But no, listen, here's the thing.
Right.
It's value without you asking me for something.
Yes, yeah, true.
At the end of my webinars, I'm going to ask you to buy something, but I've already asked you to pay for something.
True.
It's not a surprise. Like,
yeah.
oh my goodness, this was free and you're asking me to buy something? What is this about? And people
mm-hmm.
actually get insulted. I thought this
right.
was a free webinar. Like, dude,
yeah.
you know, get over yourself.
It goes back to that adage, there's no such thing as a free lunch, is there?
No.
There is.
Exactly
not.
Correct. Exactly
correct. All right, so we talked about the big four. Which are, could you tell us what the big four are?
I'll tell you and give you a sentence.
Sure.
Number one is
okay.
a Facebook business page, a like page.
Hmm.
Used to be called a fan page. But a like page. I think at first I was a little disappointed that it's not a fan page, but now I actually like better.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And that's where you have your customers interacting with you one-on-one. They tell you about something, you post something up, people comment on it, you comment back. The second thing is a Twitter account where you can send out short, valuable messages. They tell you that you have 140 characters. I only use 120. So that people can retweet it. And there's plenty of room. You don't have to shorten it down.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a person that does not abbreviate. I will be brief, but I will not abbreviate. I never use the letter U and the letter R for UR. Ever.
Hmm.
Even when my grandchildren text me, I text them back with full words.
Mm-hmm. And the reason for that is?
Because I believe that if you're going to send a message to someone, that you should have the common courtesy of using grammar.
Right. Okay.
My mom would have smacked me on the back of the head. That's not what I taught you.
Right. It shows respect.
Now, yeah, because it's socially acceptable, but you know what? When I go to write a letter,
right,
I may not know the right way to spell you, the right way to spell your.
Mm-hmm.
Because I've been using UR for so long that I wouldn't know if it had an apostrophe. You know what I mean?
True.
And you look like a fool.
Right, right.
You look like a fool.
Right.
So I'm looking at this from the perspective of there has to be a message to me that makes sense to me, and I'll send you back a message to you that makes sense to you. But
okay.
let me just make sure that we're on the same wavelength here. The economy is full of money. It's just not full of people spending their money.
True.
And with unemployment the way it is, there are people that have been literally robbed of their career for no other reason than the economy is doing poorly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And no one's really doing anything about that. No one's doing anything about real estate. No one's doing anything about jobs.
Yeah. Yeah. But we can determine our own destiny through our own attitudes and the choices we make. And you being a great avid student of Napoleon Hill for decades, embrace that whole principle that with every adversity comes an equal seat of opportunity or greater than.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. I'm totally linked in with Napoleon Hill, and I'm totally dialed in with Napoleon Hill.
Yeah.
But the challenge for people right now is that they have to reread it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, get fluent with it. If you believe that that's your thought process, then get fluent with it. There's a Napoleon Hill weekly email magazine where some of his stuff is posted. People should subscribe to that. There's every book that Napoleon Hill has ever been written. Many of them are now in the public domain, and people are rewriting them as fast as they possibly can.
Yeah. Yeah.
There's plenty of stuff out there.
Timeless truth, and it's interesting in that whole era of the Depression, for instance. As you look back in history, there were more millionaires, weren't there, that were made during that time than any other time in history. Is that true?
It is true. Everyone should read The Outliers, the Malcolm Gladwell book, and it will tell you why. It's not from the Depression it was just simply a matter of timing. How many kids were born? How many kids were in college? Where you lived, where your parents came from, all kind of stuff happened. Because many of the kids who were born in the 30s were first generation Americans. Their parents came over on a boat.
Right, right. So it was very, very, very interesting. So it wasn't necessarily linked to the Depression in itself, then, from what you're saying.
Mm-hmm.
Very, very interesting. And before we go into some of the forecasts and trends that you foresee on the horizon, let's talk about, now we talked about Facebook, we've talked about Twitter. The two others are LinkedIn and YouTube. What can you tell us about those two?
Well, my LinkedIn account looks like everybody else's LinkedIn account, with two exceptions.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Number one, I have about 105, recommendations. They have a new part of LinkedIn now where your expertise is acknowledged.
Yes.
So that playing card for me was full in the first week, which is very nice. People. However, if you have 500 LinkedIn connections, it shows 500 plus. If you have 501.
Yeah.
Well, I have 13,300 LinkedIn connections, and with that number comes an amazing opportunity to simply communicate with my followers.
Yeah.
I post something up and people either do it or like it or retweet it or something happens with it. That's the key. Okay.
Yeah.
But LinkedIn is more than that. LinkedIn is an opportunity for you to find out who is where. If you go to the advanced search feature of LinkedIn and don't type in job title, type in a keyword. And that way, anyone who's ever been in production or anyone who's ever been in sales or management, you'll find them in a heartbeat. And you would be amazed at who's in your geographic region that you can use as a sales lead.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's unbelievable. So people underutilize LinkedIn from a sales lead perspective.
Uh-huh, yeah. Phenomenal professional tool. Do you have a favorite between Facebook and LinkedIn? Are you biased?
No, I don't. I think that they each have a place. Otherwise, I would only use one. Although I think I would. Actually, I do have a favorite from a personal perspective. On my personal Facebook page versus my Instagram page, I would way rather use Instagram.
Mm.
It's faster and much more telling.
Mm-hmm.
Way faster. Yeah. Okay, now let's go to YouTube. If you look at my YouTube channel, you'll see, and the channel is Bygitomer, B-U-Y-G-I-T-O-M-E-R. You'll see that I have about, I don't know, 2.5 million views on my channel. That's a lot of views.
Amazing, amazing.
It's an amazing amount of views. But here's the deal on that. I didn't ask for anybody to come visit my YouTube channel. They just came on their own.
Uh-huh.
A better number, though, is I have 10,000 subscribers.
Wow.
So those people are people that they want to see my stuff the instant that it comes out. We have never marketed to those people, but we're going to.
Yeah.
I mean, big time, we're going to. But I'm waiting for the most opportune time. I want to deliver value. I've delivered 200 posts up on YouTube. Now it's time for me to ask them to spend $10 or $20.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's almost as if the table is set in a certain way, to use an analogy. And now it's time to invite the guests. But how do you organize the best use of your time in light of the available tools that you spoke about?
Well, I dedicate about an hour a day.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And I do what I can do within the framework of that hour.
Mm-hmm.
But I also have an amazing group of people that work with me who are proactive in that area as well. And I have an outside consulting firm that I use to help me as well.
Mm-hmm.
And the outside consulting firm is more an SEO thing than anything else, because I want to make sure that I remain high on the public's mind simply if they Google.
Mm-hmm.
Not just my name, but by a topic. If someone Googles sales training, I want to pop up.
Yeah.
If somebody Googles business social media, I want to pop up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I look at it from the perspective of I can't do everything all the time. I have a limited amount of time, and I delegate.
Sure.
But
yeah.
I'm authentic in that if somebody posts something about me, it's accurate. If someone posts a tweet of mine from a book, it's my writing.
Mm-hmm.
I just didn't copy it and paste it.
And you keep in touch with the heartbeat of the market that way, and you stay authentic. It reminds me, in the traditional sense, a lot of the great CEOs who will leave their office and walk the floor or get their hands dirty for an hour or two so that they keep connected. So excellent.
Share this with you. Maybe
uh-huh.
I gave you my formula. I allocate 1 hour a day.
Yes.
If you're just getting started, you should allocate 2 hours a day. Same amount of time that you waste watching something stupid on television.
Right.
You should allocate towards business social media.
Mm-hmm.
Get your account set up, get your messages out, ask your people to follow you, communicate with them in a proactive and a value-based way. Don't ask them to buy anything initially because you'll be disappointed that they won't. Just put your message out there, put your philosophy out there, put your strategies out there, and put your ideas out there, and put your help out there. Do that,
mm-hmm.
and you're going to win. At least that's what I've done, and I'm winning.
Excellent, excellent. Now, do you see anything else on the horizon of any equal significance as the big four that you've talked about? What about Google Plus? Do you see that playing a new role?
As soon as the CEO of Google gets on Google Plus, I'll go on it.
Okay.
That's fair to say?
True. From a search standpoint,
because the CEO of LinkedIn is on it, the CEO of Facebook is on it.
Uh huh. Yes. Interesting. But Google owns YouTube, right? If I'm not mistaken.
A stake in it.
Uh huh. So very interesting. Okay. So how do you strategize? What I mean, you've got these big four. This is your meat and potatoes. Someone who wants to optimize their time, that 1 hour or 2 hours that you're talking about, what systematically should they do in light of these four tools?
It's very simple.
Mm-hmm.
Think about what your customer needs and wants and post that.
Mm.
Don't think about it being self-serving.
Mm-hmm.
Think about it being servant.
Right. Excellent.
Don't think about it being self-serving. Think about it as being servant. And once you have that in your heart, then you'll understand what to do on social media. Mm-hmm. Social media is not self-serving. Social mm-hmm. media is being servant.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Excellent. Very, very good. You talked about a like page or a fan page. How important is it to have likes? What's the implication of that?
Well, first of all, the way people go about it is ridiculous.
Okay.
You know, I've never asked anybody to please like me on Facebook.
Uh-huh.
Yet you go into a here's the stupidity of it. You go into a store and they say, please like us on Facebook.
Wow.
Why don't they have a flat screen there and a monitor and a keyboard and say, here, like us on Facebook right now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
In the beauty shop or the bakery or the coffee shop or whatever it is, why aren't you liking me? Give me an opportunity to do it right now. Have a touch mm-hmm. screen, have an iPad, have something that I can go in and click on, and I'll like you in a heartbeat. But for me to remember it when I go home, you know, hey, Mary, do we like that bakery yet? No one cares.
Yeah, yeah.
Wonder why they have 20 likes a week.
What's the importance of being liked?
Well, I think you have a following. You know,
Right.
I only have like 30,000 likers on Facebook. I don't consider it. Well, I mean, it's a nice number, but it's not like 184,000. I mean, I'm not celebrity status. You know, I'm not. Well, and you know,
Brad
the celebrities. I don't. Yeah, exactly. I'm definitely not Brad Pitt. He has more hair than I do, and more kids.
Yeah.
However, I think that there has to be some kind of strategy for you to invite people to join your network, not so much like you.
Yes, yeah.
And if they join your network, then they're following you on all kinds of social media because they feel there's some value for them.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I said you start with what the customer needs or wants, and when that's pervasive on your social media sites, they'll all be involved with you.
Mm-hmm.
But the Facebook like page for you to be able to get more people to like you is simply to get more people involved. If you have, let's say you have your 5 best customers
mm-hmm.
and you interview them and you post the interview up on your Facebook page and you tag them, then
mm-hmm.
all of those people who follow the other guy will notice that you've done it and come look at you. Maybe they'll follow you too. Maybe they'll like
mm-hmm.
you too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You can't, it's not a one-on-one, it's one on society. Okay, let's go to YouTube for just a second. YouTube has to have value messages or proof messages. There has to be some reason for me to watch your stuff. Or there has to be some testimonial up there from a customer who loves your stuff and is recommending you.
Mm.
Those are the two prime uses for YouTube. It can also be used as a product training device. If I buy your can opener or your vacuum cleaner or your computer or your television set, you can have all of the manuals in video format to show me exactly what button to push and how to do it. Let me give you one other example. My girlfriend and I bought our baby one of those doll houses for Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not a doll. It's like a two-story, glass on the sides, you know, doll house. Big thing.
Mm-hmm.
Weighed 50 pounds. Open it up. 3-pound bag of nuts and bolts, 50 pieces of wood and glass, and no instruction manual.
Great.
It was left out of the box. Okay. I mean, Albert Einstein couldn't put that thing together. You know what I mean?
Right.
So my girlfriend goes on Facebook, on their Facebook page,
right,
and says, we bought model so-and-so, so-and-so, and it came with no instructions.
Right.
5 minutes later, we had a PDF.
There you go.
Let me tell you when it was.
Uh-huh.
It was the night before Christmas at 9 o'clock.
Wow. Wow. That's amazing. And thus this speaks to the use of social media for customer service.
Correct.
Not only for sales. Yeah.
No, it's about communication. It proves that you're communicating with your customer.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. What's the difference between, let's say, you talked about, and I think the key word here is business social media, how do you balance your personal presence, let's say on Facebook, versus your business presence, or how do you reconcile the two?
I think that everything has a business presence, and I think that everything leads someone to me. I don't think that there's one thing that's better than the other. I'm not going to mm-hmm. tell you that I'd rather have a Twitter account than anything, because I'm
yeah.
not going to give up any of them. I'm going to use them all in the manner that they have been prescribed, and I'm going to try to use them the best way that I possibly can.
Mm-hmm.
However, I want to make sure that I'm being responded to. That's my measure. That's when someone retweets me, that's my
mm-hmm.
report card. When
mm-hmm.
someone likes me, that's my report card. When someone
mm-hmm.
watches one of my videos, that's my report card. When someone asks me if they please accept me into your LinkedIn, that's my report card.
Mm-hmm.
So I look at each one of these things as acceptance, not as a lead.
Yeah. Yeah. Do you work with a structured evaluation process to see
no.
how you're doing
no.
with each one? Okay.
No, I work with a structured nothing.
Okay. All right. And
I'm unstructured.
You're unstructured, and which?
Yeah. Well,
which
I just don't. I don't want to. Sometimes the figures will lie.
Yeah.
You know, have you ever seen the J.D. Powers Customer Satisfaction Awards? You know, they're
no.
like the big company
yeah.
that rates all kinds. They give those things
okay.
to airlines.
Right.
Well, what's the category for that puppy?
The worst.
Least of the worst.
That's too funny.
Yeah.
Oh, that's.
So
that's
I don't
great.
Look at it from that perspective.
Uh-huh.
I look at it from the perspective of, am I helping
yeah.
enough people? And if I am helping enough people, they will tell their people to come follow me. That's
yeah.
where I'm at.
Is there a way to assess the monetization factor of your activity?
Yes, there is, but I wouldn't use that as the measure of my success at it.
Mm.
If people are getting on to social media strictly for ROI, then their best bet is to not get on it.
Right.
They don't understand it at all. My ROI comes from things as a result of my social media and as a result of my other forms of promotion
yeah.
or other products. My books or CDs or seminars or whatever are blended with my social media to give me continued authentication and to stay top of mind. If the person who in the marketing department is trying to justify their existence by how much money they've made from their social media, they're fools. They are totally 100% trying to save their own job fools.
Yeah.
It's because it's about reputation. It's about, you know, what does the marketplace think of them? So that when they go to the store, they buy the product.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Excellent.
I mean,
excellent.
My social media is more for top-of-mind awareness than it is for money. Because
mm-hmm.
top-of-mind awareness will lead to money.
Wow, so many great gems of insight. What considerations would you provide when developing your website?
I'm going to give you three words of advice.
Okay, great. Uh huh.
Seek professional help.
Okay, great.
It's the same advice I offer to couples that are arguing. Seek professional help. Because there are people out there that are way smarter than you and I put together.
True. Uh-huh.
With respect to the internet, and I want to know who they are. I'm going to find, you know, if you have a throat surgeon, like I have, I've had two throat surgeries. Am
yeah.
I going to go to a guy that's got a two-for-one special?
Yeah.
Or am I going to seek
yeah.
the best guy in the world? No different
and,
on your website.
Yeah, and you pointed out that you go to one social media. Is that it? One social media.
Yeah, one social media is who I use for my business social media stuff. I would use them in a heartbeat.
Yeah.
It's all one
yeah.
word. One social media.
.com.
And the CEO's name is Joe Soto. And you can just if you call him up, just tell him I sent you.
Yeah, fantastic.
I'm not on their payroll, but I won Salesman of the Year last year. I mean, literally. But I think that there's a reason. I think that people look to me as an authenticator rather than a salesperson.
Yes, that's great. Wow, this has been terrific. What, on a personal level, Jeffrey, what drives you? What gets you up every morning and makes you embrace each day the way you do?
I love what I do.
Yes.
I wake up in the morning, and I have done this for 20 years, and every day, same. I never wake up going, it's raining out. I don't care about the weather. I don't care about any outside environmental issue. But I love what I do, so I'm enthusiastic about it from Jump Street.
That's the key, isn't it, right? Do what you love,
yep.
And you never have to work another day in your life, I think.
That is correct. So. That is correct.
That's fantastic. So that's where you draw your energy. You're a very busy man, traveling the world. You do 100 live events per year. That is phenomenal. That is absolutely phenomenal. And after this interview, I think you're off to Dallas. You were mentioning that.
Yep.
Where can one learn more about your products, your webinars, your books?
There are two things that you can do. Just go to gitomer.com, gitomer.com.
Okay.
And there, or subscribe to Sales Caffeine, which you can also do at gitomer.com.
And then
I have a webinar coming up on Wednesday on becoming a trusted advisor. You can find that on gitomer.com. It's only $30.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And people can learn amazing things for either for free or for very low cost.
Excellent.
I make my stuff easily available.
Yeah. And you make
it fun,
too.
And if you call our office, we're very friendly.
You sure are.
We don't hide our numbers. We don't, you know. I mean, we accommodated you very nicely, didn't we?
Oh, you sure did. What a great team you have there. And just, you can see that everyone has a love for what they're doing and a love for working with you as a team.
Cool.
It really
is. My pleasure.
Fantastic.
Yeah, my total pleasure.
Hats off to you. So
thank
go
you.
To Gitomer. And one last thing, you mentioned that word trust, so key. How does that play into everything that we talked about today?
If I don't trust you, I'm never going to do business with you. It's plain and simple.
So just backtracking, how do you authentically convey a message that merits the trust
there,
of others?
There's no one message that you can say. It happens slowly over time.
Yeah.
People see your message and they trust you, and then they see it again, and then they trust you a little bit more. And they want to trust you. They want to trust you.
Yeah, it's true. Fantastic. So just give us, you've got this webinar, $30 investment.
Yep.
What time and where can we, I know we can
it's
do it.
It's Wednesday.
Through,
just go to Gitomer.com.
Just go to Gitomer.com. Okay.
Yeah, it's Wednesday. There's two times, 11, but it's East Coast time, 11 and 3. But you can get a rebroadcast. It's easy to do. Even if you can't be there, you can still get a rebroadcast.
Well, Jeffrey, thank you so very much for being on our program. It's been a joy having you on.
It's my pleasure.
Terrific event. One takeaway for our listeners of everything we've heard today, what would that be?
Start now and be consistently a player.
Start now. Fantastic.
Start now. Don't wait. Start now.
Fantastic. Well, Jeffrey, thank you so much. We'll be following you on Twitter and on Facebook and on LinkedIn and with great interest through your newsletter.
It's my pleasure. Thank you so much for your time today.
All right. God bless you, Jeffrey. Until next time.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.